Now, it seems like just the other day we were sitting here and remembering Christ's birth on Christmas Day. And here we are again at Easter, 4 months down the line. Good Friday, a day that we remember that the Lord was dragged off, killed, and suffered immensely as he died on the cross. I know it's been going around on the social media this week, but perhaps you've seen the little cartoon. It's portrayed in the same style as that little cartoon BC, which you might have seen in the newspapers. And it's really, I've actually put it on the screen. I don't know how visible it is for you. But the one guy is saying, I hate the term Good Friday. And the other one replies and says, why? So the first guy says, well, because my Lord was hanged on a tree on that day. And the second guy responds and says, if you were going to be hanged on that day, and he volunteered to take your place, how would you feel? And the first guy says, good. And the guy greets him and says, have a nice day. Now, yeah, that's a little funny cartoon, but the truth of it is so real, isn't it? That's exactly what Jesus has done for us. And in a way, that is why we call it Good Friday. Because I no longer have to face the punishment for my sin and rejection of God. Jesus took my place. Now, over the past 2 or 3 weeks, we have been looking at Psalm 22 and unpacking quite a bit of it. And what we have seen is that as David seemed to have gone through some struggle, and the Lord Jesus refers to this as he hangs on the cross. So it starts off with, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I think Jesus is wanting us to reflect on this psalm as he hangs on the cross. Jesus went through horrible things, but what we've learned over the last 3 weeks or so is that even when it seems like God has given up on us, he is still there with us. And we can recall from history that God does save people. Even when it seems like everybody's against us, that people are mocking us and scorning us for being Christians, we can recall how God has worked in our lives and how he has saved us in the past. And then last week, we had a look at when it seems like the whole world is against us and everything seems to be constantly going wrong. We can remember that God is there with us, that he not only will rescue us, but has rescued us. And that's really where we left it off last week. We finished off with that section, and really that's the gloomy section of Psalm 22. But often I think when we come to Good Friday, that, yeah, we might have an understanding that Jesus died on the cross. We might realize that Jesus died for our sins. But in our minds, we're maybe at the back of our minds, we're thinking to ourselves, you know, wasn't there a better way? It was such a waste of a good life. Jesus was only about 30, 33 years old at the time. He was still a relatively young man. And We sort of think, you know, what a waste of a life. Why all the suffering? And so on. And I think that's what the psalmist tries to answer in the second half of this psalm. So really from verse 21, or from verse 22 through to the end of the psalm, I think it's a second section of the psalm. So the first section of the psalm is all the gloom. The world is against me, but don't stress, God is there with you. And the second half of the psalm is that God, well, there's the glory side of this. And in a way, isn't that what the cross is about? The cross is not just a sad occasion where Jesus suffered, but it's also a glorious occasion where we recall that our sins were dealt with on the cross. So I really want to just make 3 brief comments this morning. The first one, that he has not despised the suffering of the afflicted. And that is, of course, God. Now, as we finished off last week, we looked at verse 21. And as I mentioned last week, the NIV didn't quite get the translation right here. But really what David was trying to say was that God has saved me. Not just God will save me one day, but God has saved me. He has heard me. He has answered me. But notice that God answered David in verse 21 when the lions' mouths were open against him. It wasn't that David saw the lions in the distance and God saved him. The lions were here. They were sort of in mid-flight, diving to eat him when God saved him. He speaks here of the being saved from the horns of the wild oxen. Maybe some of you have seen those guys, where is it, in Spain, where they do the bull run. And the streets are lined with people, and the bulls are set free, and there's a whole bunch of nutters in front of these bulls trying to run away from them. And they get gorged by the horns of the bulls as the bulls catch up with them. And it's in that moment that David remembers and is saved by God. And I think the idea is that God doesn't necessarily stop the suffering in our life. He doesn't necessarily stop the heartache and the hurt in our lives. But when we are in the midst of it, He saves us. And I think that idea is portrayed here again in verse 24, where David says, "For He has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden His face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." The CEV, the Contemporary English Version of the Bible, translates this verse a little bit simpler. And it says, "The Lord doesn't hate or despise the helpless in all of their troubles. When I cried out, He listened and did not turn away." Now, whatever struggle the psalmist happened to be facing, he realized that God was there with him and that God will save him when he's in the middle of it. And I think the same is true for the Lord Jesus. As he hung on the cross, Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" with references to people dividing their clothes amongst themselves, and Jesus struggling on the cross, I think he's also recalling the end of this psalm, where he's realizing, you know, that all my suffering is not in vain. God doesn't hate the suffering. He is there with me. My suffering is not without purpose. His Father didn't hate him or despise him because of his suffering. He understood that God was there with him and that God hadn't turned away from him, that God hadn't hidden his face from him, but that his Father had in fact listened to his cry for help. Now, when it comes to you and I, when life happens, when our loved ones pass away, when our resources dry up, when family relations are strained, when our health becomes an issue, we need to remember that in the middle of that, God does not leave us alone. God is there with us. In fact, He doesn't turn His back on us. He doesn't look at us with scorn and saying, "What have you done that you are now going through this hard time?" He doesn't hate or despise us in our time of need. In fact, there are many places in the Bible, and Paul picks up on this on numerous occasions, that through our suffering, through our heartache, through our difficulties in life, that in sometimes leads to endurance in life. It leads to the building of character. It leads to the building and the strengthening of our faith. And so in the middle of these struggles, here is the Lord Jesus, on the cross, obeying God, but remembering that God does not despise or disdain the suffering of the afflicted one. It is there for a purpose, and God will rescue him. Jesus knows that, and we're going to remember that on Sunday as we remember Jesus raising from the dead and being rescued from his suffering. Perhaps think of this from another angle. And perhaps the angle that we often don't think about it, but I think a pretty big angle that we need to look at. Remember that you and I have rejected God. God made us. God gave us the instructions to live a life because he knows what is best for us. And what do? We turn around, we slap God through the face, and we say, "You don't know what's right for me," and we do our own thing. But in the middle of that, what does God do for us? God sent his Son into this world, not just to be another person in this world, but to die on the cross so that you and I might have access to God, so that we might have our sin forgiven, so that we might be welcomed into God's presence. You see, God did all of that for us while we were repulsive to him. And I think that should give some significance to what Jesus did on the cross. God was with Jesus on the cross. Do you think God's going to leave us alone in our suffering, in our struggles? Jesus found his strength in God, although God didn't remove the suffering. Although Jesus lost his life, he knew that God was still there with him. If God gave his Son for us to die on the cross, then surely that shows us that he will be with us even when life throws its curveball at us. And he won't forsake us. And because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, I think this leads the psalmist then into, well, really our second point this morning. Because he doesn't disdain the afflicted, therefore you who fear the Lord, praise him. You see, my thinking is, and I think the thinking of the psalmist is, that what God has done for us, how can we not now praise him? So in verse 22, the psalmist says, "I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Honor him," he goes on to say, and then says, "revere him." You see, when someone does something for you or for me that is perhaps unexpected or goes beyond what is expected, often we feel like we owe that person something. Am I right? Okay? And sometimes we are able to reimburse that person. "Gee, I really didn't mean you to do all that. Here's an extra 20 rand to cover what you did for me." And sometimes we can pay for what they've done. But often that is not the case, and we're unable to repay what they've done for them. So what do? Well, we speak highly of them. "Hey, did you know what so-and-so did for me? Wow, it really just blew my mind that they would do that for me." And we speak highly of that person. Perhaps we even, every time we see them, we say, "Thanks. Hey, thanks again for doing that for me. It really meant a lot." Now, in a similar vein, if we're doing that with people, should we not be doing that with Jesus on the cross? Should we not be speaking highly of Jesus because he went over and above what was expected? Should we not be praising him with our lives, giving thanks to him on a regular basis? And that's what the psalmist is saying here. "I've been through a really hard patch," he says in these first 21 verses. "Felt like God was against me. It felt like people were mocking me. Felt, in fact, like the whole world was against me. But you know what? God has done all these things for me. Therefore, I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you." Jesus understood this while he hung on the cross, and he alludes to this by referring to Psalm 22. Praising God for who he is in the midst of his struggle on the cross. Now, I think it's worth pausing here for a moment and just reflecting on how the psalmist says we should praise God. Because I think today the word praise is a bit confusing. And we tend to think of praise only in a narrow little view, perhaps, of singing. And we sang, oh, well, yeah, we praise God today. We sang a few songs and we leave it at that. But let's have a look at what the psalmist says. How should we praise God? Well, he gives us four or five things, actually. We're going to look at a few of them this morning. First, he says that we are to praise God for what he has done for us in both the way we live our lives, in our struggles, and in our good times. How? By telling others about him. Perhaps the first part of praising God is not keeping quiet about him. It's about telling our colleagues, our neighbors, our friends, our family members about Jesus. The psalmist says in verse 22, I declare your name to my brothers. Part of praising God is about talking about what he has done for us. David then goes on to say that we praise God as we honor God. Now, what does the word honor mean? Well, I think we honor somebody when we respect them, when we do what they say. If they ask us to do something, we listen to them. Isn't that how we honor our mother and our father? We honor our parents by obeying them. And David says we praise God by honoring him. In other words, by listening to what he has to say. In other words, reading the Bible. And by doing what he tells us to do. In other words, by living the life in accordance to his rules and commands. So praising is way more than just singing one or two songs. Praising is about living our lives for him. Praising is about sharing the good news of Jesus with others. David goes on and says, thirdly, that we are to revere the Lord. And that carries with it ideas of admiration, respect, perhaps awe as well. And I think that points us to the fact that God and the Lord Jesus are not just our little friends that we can give a noogie on the head. You know, and hey, how's it, God? And rub them on the head, you know, like we would do with a little child or someone like that. That is not who God is, and that's not how we revere God. God is not just there when we need some help. He's not just a crutch when we're feeling down. He's not just there to have a bit of fun with. But he's to be respected. He's to be treated as we would treat our boss, as we would treat some important official or dignitary that comes to visit us. David says, we praise God as we revere him. Now, notice also that I think it's important that we understand where this praise is coming from. So look at verse 25. He says, from you, of course he's talking about God here, comes the theme of my praise. And I think that's quite a big one. We might know that we need to revere God. We might know that we need to honor God. We might know that we need to share with people about God. But does God direct the theme of our praise? Do we take what we do and put it under God's banner and allow God to direct our praise? Or do we try and do things and hope that that will count as praise to God? You see, we might even think that we praise God when we do this or do that for him. Perhaps we help in the church in some way or other. And we think, yeah, cool, I praise God today by helping in the church. Perhaps we've sung a few songs and we think, yeah, no, great, I'm online, I praise God today in church, I sang heartily. Perhaps we put on that happy face when we're around Christians. You know, the perpetual smile. and we think, yeah, I'm praising God because I'm always happy. But is that how God wants us to praise Him? Notice how Jesus praises God on the cross. Jesus isn't singing songs. He's not doing anything massively overly special on the cross. But what He is doing is obeying His Father. He's hanging on the cross out of obedience to God. Remember His prayer that He prayed, Luke 22, I think it was, where Jesus prayed the prayer, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup from me, but not what I want, what you want. Your will be done. Jesus praised God by obedience. And God directed Jesus' praise in His obedience. Praise to God is more than just singing a few songs and being happy in church. Praising God is our lifestyle, which is directed by God and not by our whims. How we live our lives in obedience to Him in every area of our life shows how we praise God. Would you and I willingly praise God if we were nailed to a cross? Do you and I willingly praise God as we face our current trial, our current struggle? Do we reflect on the fact that God does not ignore us when we're in those times? But notice that true praise only comes from those who fear God. And this is what the psalmist says, that those who trust in the Lord, those who've accepted what Jesus has done for them, we acknowledge that we are sinners, we acknowledge that Jesus died in our place, and we give Him our lives. Those are the ones who fear the Lord. And when David uses the word fear in this psalm, he's speaking of those who are true Christians. So if you and I claim to be a true Christian, if we claim to accept Jesus in our lives, then are we praising Him with our lives in the middle of everything? But notice that David goes on to say, and this is my last point, that because God doesn't leave us to our own devices in our struggles, because we are to praise God right through life, it all leads, our praise leads or can lead to conversions. And that might sound like a weird thing because, hey, aren't people converted as we speak to them? Well, yes, but sometimes people are converted by looking at how we live our lives, not just in the good times, but through the bad times as well. For the true Christian, as we live our lives in obedient praise to God, it results in people coming to know about Jesus. Remember the centurion, as he stands at the foot of the cross and Jesus cried out. We read it now in Luke 23, that as Jesus cried out, he said, Father, I give up my spirit, and he breathed his last. And verse 47 of Luke 23 says, the centurion, seeing what had happened, what does he do? He praised God and said, surely this man was a righteous man. You see, if we are praising God like we should, in obedience, living our lives in honor and respect and revering God, people will come to understand who Jesus is. And so when the psalmist goes on in verse 26 of Psalm 22, he says that the poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise Him. Now, the word poor here doesn't refer to those who are poor financially so much as it refers to those who are poor in the spirit. In other words, those who don't know who Jesus is. And any person in this world will tell you, whether they follow Jesus or not, that there's always an inkling within their being to worship something. And that's why we've got so many different religions in the world, because people feel they have to worship something. And David says, when we live our lives in praise to God, those who don't know about Jesus will find out about him. Those who are poor in spirit will be fed. They will know who Jesus is, and no longer will they be looking for something in this world, eating and trying to satisfy themselves. But they will be filled with God himself. And as they do so, those who are seeking the Lord will praise him. Now today we remember that Jesus died on the cross for us. We remember that he suffered. But we've also been reminded this morning that God did not leave Jesus on the cross, did not turn his back on him, did not look at him with disdain or disrespect because of his suffering, but that God was there with him. And remember that Jesus did that for us while you and I wanted nothing to do with him. So how can we not praise God on a day like today? Not just by singing, but by living our lives for him. Do your lives, does my life turn people to Jesus by the way we live, by the way we praise God? Perhaps we need to work on that, don't we? Perhaps we need to look at our attitudes, our behavior in certain circumstances. But Jesus obeyed God. And through his obedience to God, as he gave his life on the cross, as he cried out his last words, the centurion turned to God. I think we need to pray and ask God today that he will help us to praise him so much so that people turn to him because of the way we live. And perhaps this morning you don't know Jesus. Perhaps you are one of those who are still poor and are still looking for what is right. Well, come and chat to me a little bit more about this, and I'll try and direct you and to show you what Jesus did for you on the cross. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do just come before you this morning, and we thank you that today is called Good Friday. We thank you that while we were sinners, you died on the cross for us. And we thank you, Lord, that even though we go through difficult times, we know from experience that as God was with you on the cross, he will be with us in the middle of our trials. But Lord, as you praised God the Father on the cross in obedience to him, we pray that you would help us to give our praise to God the Father as we obey you in the middle of life, in the middle of our struggles, in the middle of our difficulties. And we pray, Lord, that our praise to you would be so great and wonderful that people would hear about you, that people would turn to you. And so, Lord, we ask for your help in this, in your name. Amen.